Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. I'm Dr. Jody Mullen, and this podcast is about helping parents and other people who are connected to children help children be their best. Sometimes, like today, that's about taking care of yourself in ways that model and set the stage for children. I've been a child counselor and a play therapist for almost 30 years and a mom for just over 20. Blending my knowledge and experience puts me in the ideal spot to share with you the lessons I've learned about children, parenting, and cultivating relationships with children. These lessons have informed my parenting, and I believe why, as one of my friends put it, I have freakishly well-behaved kids. P.S. They are freakishly well-behaved, except when they're not. So I thought that was important for you to know. In this podcast, we get at some of the basic and fundamental principles I've learned from my child clients that promote their wellness and therefore how they behave. These principles make parenting and parenthood less stressful and more joyful. I've whittled down these basic principles and share them with you, as well as other lessons I have learned or am in the process of learning here, so you too can benefit and enhance the relationships you have with children and your parenting esteem. For more on parenting and children, check out my book, Raising Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids, that was inspired by the thousands of children and the conversations and consultations with parents that I have had. You can also find additional resources for parents and professionals on my clinical website, which is www.integrativecounseling.us. Hang out with me on social media, on Facebook at Integrative Counseling or on Instagram at Dr. Jody Mullen. When I share stories related to my clinical work, I will make every effort to disguise any identifying information, so any likeness is a coincidence. Today, I am joined by my friend and colleague and inspiration sometimes, Faye Sweat, and we're going to be talking about mental wellness. I do think I should give a little background here. When we originally scheduled this, it was Mental Wellness Month, which is the month of January. Today is not January, but part of why we had to delay this conversation that we're having with you is because we had to take care of ourselves. So we had a couple of things come up that we had to say no to this and yes to ourselves. So in that way, I'm really proud of us, Faye, because we're kind of just putting that mental wellness piece right into practice.
Absolutely.
Yes. So we wanted to really, though, focus on, especially since it's January, since it was Mental Wellness Month, or since it was January, and since it was Mental Wellness Month, recalibrating and really celebrating. So we wanted to start off really just with a definition of wellness and then spring off of that and talk about how we maintain and practice mental wellness, especially at the beginning of a year, during the winter, as parents, those kinds of things. So let me start there, and then we'll start talking to Faye a little bit more about some of the challenges to maintaining mental wellness. So what is mental wellness? Mental wellness is an internal resource that helps us think, feel, connect, and function. All important aspects of being human. And I love that in this particular definition, connect is part of it. Because I think one of the things where we do shortchange our children sometimes is when we're disconnected, not just from them, it usually starts with self. Being disconnected from self. So once again, mental wellness is an internal resource that helps us think, feel, connect, and function. And I love this part of it. It's an active process that helps us build resilience, grow, and flourish. And part of what I love about that part is that it is an active process. It's not something like, I've achieved it, check it off the list. It's something that you continually have to be invested in, but it also allows that active process for you to recognize it's an active process in your children too. And how, and I'll go back to this, how do you model it and how do you create opportunities for your children to feel that sense of mental wellness too? So So we're going to talk about that today. So hi, Faye. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good too. So let's shift a bit here in talking about mental wellness, in that we know what it is, and we are all on the same page with that. What are some of the challenges when we were talking about this prior to talking about it today? What are some of the challenges that pop up for you around mental wellness?
I would say that there are a ton of different challenges, but one for me, I'm a very, I think the seasons affect me a lot, especially during the winter. I get a lot of seasonal depression type things. Like, I thrive in the sun and I need to be outside. So mental wellness is a little bit tougher for me because all of my, all of my self-care is like based outside in the sun. It's a lot of movement. So yeah, one of my challenges is definitely the winter and being stuck inside a little bit more.
Yeah, and that I'm so glad that you share that. We're here, Faye and I are on the East Coast of the United States right now, and it is massively wintry today because we also have a winter storm. And then I think, like, add on top of that, right? So there's that isolation that sometimes happens because of the season. But then there's also the isolation connected to COVID. And there's other forms of isolation that we sometimes impose on ourselves or part of our circumstances. So it can super be connected to the season, but it also can be connected to the larger feeling of isolation. And when you're isolated, going back to our definition, you're clearly not connected, right? And so it really takes that active process of mental wellness to say, like, okay, what can I do differently? What could be helpful here? So one is, I want to really normalize that because of the sun, because of access to being outdoors, if you live in a cold weather, a place that gets cold weather in the winter, because of that we are still, dealing with the pandemic, is because of all of that, it is absolutely normal to feel isolated and disconnected right now. In fact, if you didn't, I would be worried. Right? It is that normal to feel that way, that if you didn't, as a mental health professional, I would be worried and also super curious about what are you doing to keep yourself connected and thriving. The other thing I want to say about just one more piece of the puzzle, is that of course you're going to feel this way as a parent, but you're going to see this in your family members as well, and your children. And so this is why it is so important to model mental wellness and to model what it takes and to play with that, to really to be able to do that, because from a mental health professional perspective, lots of mental, like, the challenges that make us feel depressed, words like depressed and anxious and those kind of things, are connected to isolation, and they thrive in isolation and connection. It is like, it's what makes them grow. So with that being said, Faye, what are you doing? How are you keeping this an active process?
So thankfully, I usually see it coming pretty early in the winter season, because I know this is something that happens for me every year. So I plan to kick my self-care into overdrive as early as possible. I try and go to yoga classes if possible. I'll do an at-home workout. I'll get up early. I'll go to bed early, just as much sunlight as I can put into my day. And I also always turn on my space heater the second that I wake up, just to, like, make me feel a little bit warm and, like, not so, cold and chilly when I get out of bed. I also really like to turn the lights on around 3 or 4 p.m. when it starts to get a little bit dark, so that I kind of extend my day a little bit. Helps a lot.
Yeah. So just, knowing that these are some of the things that, like, literally brighten up your space and your surroundings, right? And so it's kind of cool, because some of the things that you're talking about are more environmental. So they would affect the people. They could affect the people around you too. So parents, I'm talking to you, and caregivers, is one of the things to think about is how do you do that, like in your home, in your surroundings? So you may be doing it for you, but how may that be impacting the other people around you, right? To create that sense of warmth, that sense of brightness, you know, what are you doing around that? And so, and then I think a really, for lack of a better word, cool thing that you can do is invite your children into what can we do to brighten up the place? What can we do to bring some sunshine and warmth inside of the house? So inviting your children to be able to be part of that. Maybe like one of the things I'm thinking off the top of my head is maybe they want to draw or create some things that, you know, they can then hang up or you can display in some way in your home. That brings that energy, because I think part of what you're talking about, Faye, is like the wah, wah that happens. And so how do you re-energize around that?
Exactly.
So then, and also one of the things I also want to tease out of what you said is, and I'm going to come at this from my role as a professional helper and mental health counselor, is like you really do have to, one, when you're dealing with seasonal affective disorder and any kind of seasonal like depression, even if you like have the seasonal blahs, right, is you really do have to take an active stance with it. So some of the things that say talked about are really, they're great tips that a professional would give you as well, is to do something, create activity, create that energy, to change things in your environment that you can control. You can't control the weather, but you can control how bright it is in your home. You can that there are things that you can control. You can have citrus fruit in the winter. We're lucky enough to, you know, live at a time where that's possible. That makes you smell, like it makes the smells of summertime and spring and that kind of thing come to life. So those may be some things too to do with your kids. What's something that you traditionally like eat or enjoy in the summer or in the sunshine that you can bring into the inside? Kind of like I think of sometimes you have breakfast for dinner, right? So this is a similar thing. It's like you can have lemonade in the winter. You're allowed to do that. So thinking outside the box about how we can kind of liven things up that way. So when you are able to do these things and create that shift, then how do you honor that? Because I do think that is the other piece of the puzzle, right? Is like not just do them, but then re-energize, recalibrate by saying, look at what I am doing versus what I'm not doing. So say, how about you? Do you celebrate your wins?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like once I get myself to a place where I'm feeling a lot better, I want to make sure that I stay up at that spot. So I definitely do try my best to celebrate my wins and like take time to like, you know, celebrate the accomplishment, whether it's small or large. Because I feel like, mental wellness is about, you know, self-compassion and celebration of how you're feeling. I keep a list of my goals. And when I complete one, I usually have like, you know, something that I'll treat myself to, whether it's, you know, little things like a skincare product I like, or, you know, pedicure or an extra yoga class that week or something that'll keep me going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you really do like kind of say like, there, did it. So I'm thinking of two different authors. One is Jack Canfield, who writes about every time completing something like that, not just putting a check mark or crossing it off or just going like, oh, I went to yoga. It's like literally saying out loud or writing down next to your list or whatever, victory, right? It's like you achieved it. You did it. And the author's name escapes me for the moment, but, Gary Cohen, I think is his name. And one of the things he talks about is, and maybe it's not him, so I was trying to show off and say I always remember the authors, but in fairness to myself, I am recovering from a concussion. So, one of the things is just really recognizing micro achievements. Aha, I know where that came from. That came from the book, The 5 a.m. Club. So in The 5 a.m. Club, the author talks about recognizing these micro achievements, things that we do during the day that actually are accomplishments. So like, for example, one of the things that I had as a micro accomplishment yesterday was I did two loads of laundry. I work teaching play therapy class to my graduate students, and I saw a couple of clients, but I also did two loads of laundry, and that was an additional achievement. I returned a phone call that I needed, you know, to return. I cooked a really delicious dinner, right? All of these things are things that we can like kind of do that the way I say it is like an internal high five. And when you're doing that, you're showing your kids that like it's not just like this big deal that matters. It's these little things, and they really do add up, and how like how important all of those things are. So it's really, can you apply this to parenting? Of course you can. So, you know, Faye, you give us this great example of like how you do it for self, but as parents, we can model that and also infuse it into what we do. So like not everything has to be a reward, like a let's go to the movies or let's, you know, go out to dinner or something like that. It doesn't all have to be things that cost you. And in Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids, in the book and audiobook, I list off, I think, like 50 different things you can do with your children that cost nothing, but are really do that. They build in those pieces of saying, like, you know, like, this is special and you're special, all important aspects. So, Faye, one of the things that you talked about that I'd love for you to share with our listeners is your happy list. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, I'm so passionate about my happy list. So every single week, I really am. I can't preach this enough, like how much this has changed like my mental health. Just writing like once a week, doesn't matter what day of the week it is, same day of the week, I usually do Mondays. I write down a list of things that fill me with joy. It can be three things. It can be one thing. It can be 20 things. As long as there's at least one thing on the list, I just go with that. And it's such an incredible feeling to write down all of the things that make you happy and then thinking all week, okay, I'm not feeling the best. I'm going to pick one of those things and I'm going to add it to my day.
Yeah, I love that. And can you imagine doing that as a family? Can you imagine doing that, you know, with your kids? Like how, what?
That would be so beautiful.
Wouldn't it? And it doesn't have to be like all, you know, unicorns and rainbows and sunshine and things like that. But to be able to do that, especially as we're trying to like reset and recalibrate as like what brings us joy. So I find I actually do something similar. Again, I'm going to reference a book that I read that I also would like to reread because there was so much in it that I know I didn't soak it all in. But the book was called Joy on Demand. And one of the things that the author shares in this book is just really recognizing those teeny moments where you feel joy and like just kind of stopping for a second and breathing into those. So like they're like mini meditations where you just focus on joy. And let me give you one of the examples that the author shares. It's like when you get in the shower and you let that first step into the shower where you're like, ah, right? It's like that, like if you have nothing else, you have that, right? And so
it can be anything. Yeah. Just like the littlest thing.
Oh my gosh, right? So if you can do that for yourself, and I've been practicing that for honestly just about a month, and I feel so, I not just recalibrated, but recharged. And I, like you say, this cold, dark days of winter, that does not, I do not do so well with that. But I think that this is, like, that is part of being able to see that every single day, is to be able to find that. And especially when your kids are struggling, parents, it might be helpful to highlight even a teeny tiny, teeny tiny event that may have brought them joy. So you say, you can say, what about that first spoonful of ice cream? Did that bring you joy? What about, so you can get curious about when they recognize that in themselves. And I think it's an unfortunate thing that we take that for granted. The micro achievements, the micro opportunities for joy. But I think that that is definitely something that you can do. And I think you also say, I'd like you to speak to this too, but I think people might have noticed that when we're talking about these examples, we haven't mentioned anything that is digital. We haven't mentioned anything that is engaged with technology in terms of our in terms of the things that brighten us up, that recharge us, that recalibrate us, that allow us to celebrate. How is that connected? Because on your list and what you've talked about so far, nothing digital there.
No, definitely not. And to be honest with you, during these times where I'm feeling, the seasonal sadness, I don't really want to be on my phone. I don't want to be connecting to anything that feels like extra work to me. And I just feel like moving my body and journaling and just really focusing in on myself. Whereas all technology kind of feels so external and disconnected in a way, almost extra isolating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, it's just I didn't do this on purpose preparing for today's podcast or anything like that. But I decided in the same time I was I'm going to really focus on joy and finding it in the little things and honoring my micro accomplishments and achievements. Is at the same time I was I waste a lot of time related to technology and TV especially. And then, like I had mentioned before, I got a concussion. So I was cut off. So I'd already dwindled down the amount of time I was watching TV, and I was only allowing myself to watch either sports, which I really enjoy, or Food Network. That was it. Those were my limits. Food and sports. So then I got a concussion, and I was not allowed time on my screen. So I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't go on my computer. I couldn't go on my phone. And I, as terrible as I was feeling because of the concussion symptoms, there was a freedom that came with that I haven't, it's been 2.5 weeks. I haven't gone back to watching TV at all. Not even sports. I'll probably watch the Super Bowl, in fairness. But I haven't done that. And I felt in this weird kind of way, that concussion gave me permission to say, I do not need to spend my entire day, and that's a bit of a dramatic exaggeration, connected to this false connection to other people. So I felt like it was really freeing. And I'm wondering, what ways we can help our children connect that aren't digitally related.
Yeah.
Because, both of us had, really went there.
Yeah. I've experienced that too. It is really a freeing feeling. It's relaxing. It's freeing. It's a nice change. It really is.
Yeah. And I think it's also like in some ways surprising because I did like freak out a little bit and was worried about, I mean, the timing of it was not good. It was like the first day of classes and or the first week of classes at the university I teach at. And I had a bunch of stuff I needed to do, you know, and I needed to be on my computer. Well, it turns out I actually didn't need to be because it allowed for saying no. And so even in the midst of that and being, you know, not feeling good and somewhat stressed, is there were opportunities to still feel joy, to still have micro achievements and accomplishments, to still be engaged in the active process of mental wellness. And I think like that's, you know, part of what you are saying too, is this happy list grounds you in it every single week.
Absolutely.
Is there anything?
And that's like one thing that you're doing for yourself, you know, like that's one set thing that you're taking time just for you, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, is there one thing that you feel like, I need, like, this needs a little bit more of my attention or something like that?
Yeah, so I'll notice that sometimes, like, when I'm making my happy list, if I'm writing, like, that going to bed at, you know, 9 p.m. made me so happy the other day, that's like me telling myself, like, that's what I need more of. Like, I need to go to bed earlier. That feels good for me. So that's kind of how I tailor, like, what I feel like I need more of in that week.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And so that you can be so here's the part that you're saying that I think is, you know, I really want people to hear, is that you're being like reflective over it. You're looking at like, okay, so how did things go, right? And then really doing an assessment of that. And so you can do that as a parent too. This is actually something I talk about in Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. And I learned from Jack Canfield, who wrote The Success Principles and was the founder of Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Well, Jack Canfield talks about like really doing like a rating scale of that. And so so one of the things that you can do with your kids is on a scale of 1 to 10, you can even do that with little kids. You just make the scale smaller. On a scale of happy, super happy to meh to sad, how did you feel things went this week with our joy list, right? Or you can check in about that. One of the other ways that you can do that, just as a sidebar for parents, is ask about your parenting. Check in on that. So if you are really, if part of your mental wellness goal is to do a better job at connecting and being present for your kids, which is like always a goal for me as a parent, even with a 22-year-old and an 18-year-old's children, is I check in with them. I ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, how is my parenting this week? How is our connection this week? You can make it any kind of thing. Did we as a family do a good job of bringing sunshine and joy into our home? You know, and so being able to do that scale of 1 to 10 where you're assessing, and then assessing isn't enough, and then you take action. And again, going back to that definition of mental wellness, it's an active process. So we just have another minute or so before we say goodbye for today. Is there anything that you really want to just like leave our listeners with in terms of how this is connected to being perfectly well?
Yes, I would say that Mental Wellness Month doesn't end in January. And I also think that being super gentle with yourself is one of the most important things with keeping your mental wellness at an all-time high. And just feeling out what you need.
Yeah, I love that. I didn't say this, Gabor Mate, who is a well-known psychotherapist and speaker, says that we don't get have really compassion fatigue. We don't run out of compassion for other people. What we do is we stop being compassionate to ourselves, and then we can't share our compassion with other people. And so I, you know, like you're right at it. It's like really recognizing your achievements, recognizing all the things that are amazing about you. So then you have an abundance of that, that you can share with the people around you, including your children. So thank you today for being part of our conversation again today. And we look forward to being able to connect to you all in the future. Have a very beautiful day. Bye, Faye.
Thanks, Jody.